Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 1. And what we're going to see tonight is that the sacrifices under the law made nothing perfect. The sacrifices under the law made nothing perfect. And therefore, there had to be another sacrifice, and there was. Hebrews was written to Jews professing faith in Christ. As a result of severe persecution, some of them were contemplating abandoning Christ and Christianity and returning to Judaism and living under the law. Hebrews was written to warn them not to do this, but to persevere in their faith in Christ. I remind you that for the most part, Hebrews was written to people who were genuinely saved, but struggling in their Christian lives. We've seen in chapters 1 through 7 that Christ is superior to angels. We have seen in chapters 3 and 4 that Christ is worthy of more glory than Moses. And we have seen in chapters 4 through 7 that Christ's ministry is more excellent than the Levitical priest's ministry. In Hebrews 8, 1 through 10, 18, where we'll be tonight, Christ is shown to be the mediator of a better covenant, better than what was under the law. In this section of Hebrews, we have seen a summary of what the writer has said thus far in 8, 1 through 6. We have seen the promise of a new covenant in 8, 7 through 9. We've seen a description of this new covenant in 8, 10 through 12. And we have seen that this new covenant has made the old covenant, meaning the law, obsolete. We've also seen that the ordinances of divine service of the first covenant, meaning of the law, were types, and that the types of the first covenant, meaning the types of the law, were fulfilled by the offering of Christ's blood in the heavenly sanctuary. In this message, as we consider Hebrews 10, 1 through 8, we want to show that the sacrifices under the law made nothing perfect. In the first part of verse 1, we see that the law foreshadows good things to come. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Verse 1 advances the argument that Christ is the mediator of a better covenant, as is indicated by 4, which is used in the sense of now. The law is the Mosaic law, is another way of saying the first covenant. The law functions as the subject of can make. Having may be understood in the sense of because it, meaning because the law has, inasmuch as the law has, or since the law has. It may instead be understood in the sense of although the law has. A shadow is a foreshadowing, and it's been used previously in Hebrews 8:5. As you know, a shadow is not nearly as specific as an exact likeness. You could stand somebody up next against me who is the same height and the same weight about, basically the same size, and we could stand there and a shadow could be cast. Could you tell the difference between the two of us? And the answer is no, and yet we might look completely different. Might be a color of our skin. It might be that one has a mustache and one doesn't, or something like that. We understand a shadow isn't very specific, but you know something is there. It's a foreshadowing of good things to come, which refers to the good things to come under the new covenant, of which the law was only a shadow. The law was a shadow of the good things to come. The good things came with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. We also see in the second part of verse 1 that the law is not the very image of the good things to come. It says, and not the very image of the things. And not the very image of the things introduces something that is not true of the law. The very image is the image itself, where image means likeness. The word translated very is used to intensify image. Of the good things, or of the things rather, is referring to the good things to come and suggests the coming good things and means the matters or the affairs about to come. But the law doesn't look exactly like the good things to come. Next, in the third part of verse 1, we see that the law can never make those who come to it perfect. And yet people try to be good in order to earn salvation. For the law can never, with those sacrifices which they, meaning the high priests, offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Can make is able. And never suggests not ever or not at any time. The tense of can make implies an ongoing situation, which is always true. Hence, the law is not now able and never will be able with those sacrifices which they, meaning which the high priests, offered year by year continually. It's never able to make the comers thereunto perfect. With those sacrifices is with the same sacrifices, or with the same offerings, which they offered, refers to the sacrifices the high priests brought or presented. Year by year is annually, meaning once a year, or year after year. The sacrifices referred to are the sacrifices offered by the high priests on the Day of Atonement. Continually means without interruption. Its use in this verse indicates that these sacrifices have been made annually on a continued basis ever since the instructions for the Day of Atonement were given in Leviticus while the Israelites were still at Mount Sinai. And they were there about a year is all. Now, I've got something here that you're not going to find in your notes, probably, and so you might want to write these references down as I give them to you. The Day of Atonement is also known as Yom Kippur. That's the Hebrew terminology, Yom Kippur. And you've heard of that in our society from Jewish people. It is named in Leviticus 23:27-28, and it's described in Leviticus 16:1-34. We do not have time to deal with these passages in this evening's message. However, you can look them up and read about them. I did not put these references in your notes, so you might want to write them down. Again, the references are Leviticus 23:27-28 and Leviticus 16, 1 through 34. That's instructions regarding the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur. What these sacrifices were never able to do was to make the comers thereunto perfect. To make perfect suggests to complete, to bring to an end, to bring to its goal, or to bring to its accomplishment. The comers thereunto suggests the ones who come to, the ones who come near, or the ones who approach, and refers to the ones who attempt to come near to God or to approach God on the basis of the sacrifices. In addition, we see in the first half of verse 2 that if sacrifices under the law could make people who offer them perfect, they would have ceased to be offered. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? For then is understood in the sense of because, since, for otherwise, or for if it were different. Would they not have ceased to be offered? Suggests that they would have ceased being offered. And the very fact that these sacrifices continued to be offered year after year indicates that they did not make the worshiper perfect. Furthermore, we see in the second half of verse 2 that if the worshipers had been purged, they would have no more conscience of sins. Because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. Because that is simply because. The worshipers are the ones doing the religious service to God. Here the worshipers refers to the high priests as well as to the people who were seeking to approach God on the basis of these sacrifices made by the high priests. Once is once for all and implies once for all time rather than once for all people. The Greek word cannot mean once for all people. It means exactly once for all time. Purged is having been purified, or having been made clean, or having been cleansed. It is understood in the sense of if they had been once cleansed. If they had been once cleansed, they should have had no more conscience of sins. Is should no more have conscience of sins. Should have no consciousness yet of sins. Should no longer have consciousness of sins, or should have no consciousness still of sins. In other words, their consciences should have been cleansed. But their consciences were not cleansed, and this has already been indicated in Hebrews 9, 13 through 14. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's Hebrews 9, 13 and 14, which we've looked at previously. In addition, in verse 3, we see that annual sacrifices provide a reminder of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. but introduces a strong contrast to the thought that there should have been no more consciousness of sins in those as in them, or by means of them, that is, in or by means of these animal sacrifices on the Day of Atonement. There is a remembrance of sins made, there is made a reminder of sins, which indicates that there is still a consciousness of sins. It is in contrast to what we will find when we get to Hebrews 10:17, which states, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." That's where we are. Our sins and our iniquities are not remembered anymore. That's a wonderful privilege we enjoy. In contrast to remembrance or reminder functions as the subject of a supplied verb, as the subject of is made. It is literally in those, meaning in those annual sacrifices, a reminder of sins or remembrance of sins is made. In those annual sacrifices is a reminder of sins. Every year we go through the same thing over and over and over again. And the fact that we have to offer these animal sacrifices year after year on the Day of Atonement indicates that we are still conscious of having sins. But Jesus has provided for our sins, and there is no more consciousness or no more reminder of sins. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. The fact that there is a reminder of sins indicates that the sins are still there and have not been fully removed. That's up until the crucifixion, but the Jews were still offering sacrifices over at the temple after Hebrews was written, but it wouldn't last long. In AD 70, the Romans would destroy the temple, and that would be the end of the sacrifices on the Day of Atonement. There has been no cleansing of the conscience when there is a reminder of sins annually. Again, implies that this remembrance is repeated year after year. As indicated by the italics, "there is made" has been supplied by the translators in order to express more fully the thought in English. Every year is annually, yearly, year by year, or year after year. You know, it's a reminder of your birthday. Whether you like it or not, it comes year after year after year. And you keep getting older and older and older, at least more mature and more mature and more mature. That's the way it was. There's a reminder that I'm not as young as I once was. And I'm sure that all of you can figure that one out, that you're not as young as you once were. It's nice to still be alive and well, though, isn't it? That's the Lord's will for us. Every year, annually, year by year, year after year, it's identical to the phrase translated year by year in verse 1, it's also translated every year in Hebrews 9:7. As we move into verse 4, we note that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sins. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Verse 4 continues the explanation of verse 2, as is indicated by 4, which is used in the sense of because. It is not possible is simply, it is impossible. And what is impossible is that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Now, to take away sins is to remove sins. And it implies to forgive sins. To take away functions as the subject of is, which must be supplied in the mind of the reader. And sins is used generally of any and of all sin. By contrast, in verse 5, we see that a body was prepared for Christ. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In verse 5, the writer introduces a quotation from Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, in order to demonstrate that Christ did not come for the purpose of offering sacrifices according to the law. Verses 6 through 8 in Psalm 40 read, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Wherefore, in verse 5, introduces a strong inference and means therefore, or for this reason, when he cometh into the world is literally coming into the world. It may be understood in the sense of when he comes into the world, because he comes into the world, or simply he comes into the world. He refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the statement is being addressed to God the Father. Into the world refers to Christ's incarnation when he was begotten and born as a man, a young boy. What he saith, or what he says is, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast had no pleasure. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not is you, meaning God the Father. You did not wish or did not desire sacrifice and offering. Sacrifice and offering are two terms which mean basically the same thing, and their use together suggests offering. Thou is you singular, refers to God the Father, but introduces a statement in mild contrast to the phrase sacrifice and offering thou didst not, but a body hast thou prepared me, where thou is God the Father and me is Christ. It is you, meaning God the Father, have prepared a body for me, meaning for Christ. Body refers to Christ's physical body. Hast prepared is made or created and has been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. The author is showing that it was the sacrifice of this body of the Lord Jesus Christ that God wished or desired, rather than that Jesus would present a sacrifice or offering in accordance with the Levitical system. In verses 6 and 8, we'll skip verse 7 at this time. We'll come back to it. In verses 6 and 8, we see that God has no pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin made under the law. Verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Verse 6 is continuing the quotation from Psalm 40, 6 through 8. The speaker is still the Lord Jesus Christ, and his statement is being made to God the Father. Burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins is literally whole burnt offerings and concerning sin, or whole burnt offerings even concerning sin. Thou hast had no pleasure refers to God the Father, and it means you, God the Father, were not well pleased with, or you did not delight in. And it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. Thou, of course, is God the Father. Now, skip to verse 8 in your thinking. We will come back to verse 7 when we're finished with 8. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. In verse 8, the writer comments on the quotation he's just made in verses 5 through 6, which he quoted from Psalm 40, 6 through 8. By above, he means in the previous few verses or earlier regarding what he has just stated in verses 5 and 6. When he said is literally saying. It may be understood in the sense of when he said, while he said, or and he said. What he said is sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein. The writer has combined the statements made in verses 5 and 6 and rephrased them slightly. Sacrifice and offering are two terms used to indicate offerings, and burnt offerings are whole burnt offerings. Thou wouldst not. Thou is God the Father, and it means you, God the Father, you did not wish, or you did not desire. Neither hadst pleasure therein is you, God the Father, were not well pleased with, or you did not delight in, which are offered by the law, is the writer's comment on this quotation, which refers to the sacrifices, to the offerings, and to burnt offerings, and to offerings for sin. It is literally, such as those which. It means such as those which are offered by the law. Are offered by the law means are offered in accordance with the law, are offered according to the law, or are presented according to the law. In other words, certain sacrifices and offerings were prescribed by the law. It is these kinds of sacrifices which the writer has in view. Thus, in verses 5 and 6, the writer is stating that the intent of Christ's coming into the world was not to offer sacrifices, offerings, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin as prescribed by the law. Now, before I go on, let me just comment. God ordered these sacrifices under the law, but he did not delight in them. But he did delight in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ as an offering for our sins. He was well pleased And as a consequence, we are able to be saved because Jesus died on the cross and paid for our sins and then rose again from the dead to show God's approval of what he had done. Finally, and I know it's mighty early for me to be saying finally, but we sang songs with only three verses, and they were kind of short, and the ladies kept the tempo up, didn't they? Yes, they did. It was peppy, wasn't it? And so we might get out, two or three minutes early tonight. That's all right, because next week, who knows what it might be. Oh, I know, next week there is no evening service, no 5 o'clock service. That's because we have homecoming, and we'll be having a guest speaker, we hope, in our morning service. He just had surgery on the 18th and supposed to be preaching on the 28th. But just in case he isn't quite ready, Jesse and I will be ready, all right? Christ came to do his Father's will in verse 7. Why are you here? Why did you come? Was it to do God the Father's will? Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Verse 7 continues the quotation from Psalm 40, 6 through 8, begun in verse 5. Christ is the speaker, and what he says is spoken to God the Father. Then said I, refers to Christ, and what he said is, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Then maybe temporal and mean at that time, but it more likely means thereupon. Lo is behold. I come where I is Christ is. I have come, or I am present. The reason or purpose for which Christ has come is expressed by to do thy will, O God. Here Christ addresses his Father as God. God the Father's will was that Christ die on the cross as an offering for sin, rather than that he come and make offerings and sacrifices for sin in accordance with the Levitical system. In the volume of the book is in a roll of a book or in a roll of a scroll. It is written of me, where me refers to Christ is, it has been written concerning or about me. The tense of in is written is indicating an activity which occurred in the past with its result continuing on. This was written down in the past and it remains written for all to read. And of course it is now an existing fact. The Jews who were contemplating abandoning Christ and Christianity and returning to Judaism should realize that the sacrifices made in conjunction with the law made nothing perfect. They should also realize that the one sacrifice that Christ made did make those who come to him perfect. If you've come to him as your Savior, he made you perfect. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now that's not your old sin nature. That's your new Christ-like sinless nature. In Christ, sins have been forgiven and there's no more consciousness of sins. We're not having to remind ourselves every year by a sacrifice. What happens in the Mass that the Roman Catholics observe? There's a reminder of what Christ supposedly did Is there any forgiveness in the Mass? No, not at all. The same is true for non-Jews. Christ's death on the cross paid in full for the sins of all humanity. That includes you, whether you've accepted him as your Savior or not. If you haven't already done so, trust Jesus and receive him as your Savior from sin and its consequences. Consider that Christ came into the world to do the Father's will. Why have you, people, and why have I really come into the world? Is it not also to do God the Father's will? So what is God's will for you and for me? As far as our spiritual situation is concerned, it's the same. Is it not to be saved and to live for the Lord for the rest of our lives? Is it not to be what he wants us to be doing what he wants us to be doing, and to be doing it in the way he wants us to be doing it? Be is the most important part of those three things. Be what he wants you to be. Don't be a phony. Be a godly individual. Is it not to be living our lives according to the scriptures? So why are so many professing believers ignorant of what the scriptures are teaching? Well, there are two reasons. One, they're not reading the scriptures for themselves. And two, they're not being taught what the scriptures say. Is it not being in the center of God's will for the rest of our lives? What do you perceive to be God's will for you and your life? This is the only thing which will bring genuine and lasting happiness in our lives. Remember that as we submit our hearts and minds in obedience to the scriptures, God will make his will clear for our lives. We need to be what he wants us to be doing, and to be doing what he wants us to be doing, whatever this is, for the rest of our lives. There is no retirement for believers in living for the Lord. Let's be faithful, thankful for what he's done and continues to do, not only in our lives, but what he is doing in our church and in our people's lives as we study God's word together and submit our hearts and minds to its plain teaching. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that we have this privilege of knowing the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. And help us, our Father, to be what you want us to be, to be doing what you want us to be doing, and to be doing what you want us to be doing in the way you want us to be doing it. And help us to be and be doing for the rest of our lives. Thank you for the privilege you've given us of providing our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.